So as we start the 3 weeks here, today Shabbat Shabbat Tammuz for most of you listening, even though for me already it's officially Yud Ches B'Tammuz now. It behooves us a little bit to examine the nature of these days. So the Mishnah says in Maseches Tainis, Chamisha Dvarim Iru Es Avosinu B'Shabbat Shabbat Tammuz. There are five things that happened to our forefathers on Shabbat Shabbat Tammuz, the Chamisha B'Tisha B'Av, and five things that happened on Tisha B'Av. What happened on Shabbat Shabbat Tammuz? Nishtabru HaLuchos. The Luchos were broken when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai and saw that there was an Egel, so the Luchos were broken. Ubatel HaTamid. The Tamid is stopped being offered in the Beis HaMikdash. V'Hufka HaYir. And the city was breached. V'Saraf Apostolos is a Torah. Apostolos, who was a Roman general, burned the Torah. V'Hemid Salam B'Heichal. Machok HaShoshonim. An idol was placed in the Hekel, in the Beis HaMikdash. Malchus Rishonim, Papas Thomas was the one who put it there, or Menashe was the one who put it there. But all those things happened on Shabbos or B'Tammuz. On an Av, on Tisha B'Av, so it was decreed on our forefathers that they shouldn't enter Eretz Yisrael. That was the first thing after the Chet HaMeraglim. And the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Beitar was destroyed. B'Nech Rasha'ir, and the Beis HaMikdash, or Yerushalayim, was plowed, I mean, it was totally demolished. And then we even did Mishnah Nechnasav Mimatim B'Simcha. That's all what it says in the Mishnah in Tainis. And we see over here in this Mishnah, and as we know, that this is a time in our history and in our present that is a time of Hester Panim, that Hashem is not apparent to us, a time of Din, a difficult time. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, fascinatingly, we do find a little bit of the opposite sentiment at this time also. The Pasuk in Tehillim says in Perkei Tes, Mizmor la'asaf, Elokim ba'u goyim b'nachlasecha, timu es heichal kodshecha, v'samu es Yerushalayim li'iyim. Mizmor la'asaf. Asaf says a mizmor, a praise to Hashem. That goyim came into his nachla, which is the Beis HaMikdash. They were metameh, they destroyed Yerushalayim. So right away, the Medrash asks, Rashi and Kiddushin and Tosafot Kiddushin quote the Medrash, that why does it say Mizmor La'asaf? Kina La'asaf Mibayilai. Right? It's a very fascinating thing. Why? This isn't something to praise about. This is something that we have to lament. It should say Kina La'asaf. Why Mizmor La'asaf? So the Medrash says, the Mizmor is that Hashem at that time, B'nai Yisrael, had done so many Averis. Hashem could have really just destroyed the entire Jewish people because of the Averis that were done. But instead of destroying the entire Jewish people, so Hashem decided to take his wrath out upon the Beis HaMikdash and destroy the Beis HaMikdash instead. So even within this tremendous Hester Panim, even within this tremendous din that's so dominant during this time of the year, these next 3 weeks, the Bein HaMitzarim, we do find this element of Hashem's compassion towards us, Hashem's closeness to us, that Mizmor La'asaf, that Hashem, as a gesture in a certain sense, of his close relationship to us, instead of destroying the Jewish people, so he destroys the Beis HaMikdash, and that warrants a mizmor, a praise to Hashem. And we know the pasuk says in Zechariah, a very famous pasuk this time of year, Mishnah Berurah quotes it, Ko'amar Hashem Tzomar Vi, these refer to the Tzomos of the Chorban, of the Beis HaMikdash, Basar B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedalia. So all these must yet be Yehuda l'sason u'l'simcha u'muadim tovim. All these tzomos in the future are going to change. They're going to be days of happiness and rejoicing and yontif. The whole thing is going to change over, which is a tremendous thing. And then we go on in Av, and very paradoxically, after experiencing the 3 weeks, and like the Mishnah says, it's quoted l'halacha in Shulchan Aruch that mishud nichnas Av nematim b'simcha. Then we hit. Not even a week after Tisha B'Av, we hit Tu B'Av. And the Gemara says in Tainis, and Rishon Gamliel, lo hayu yamim tovim liyisrael kechamisha asar ba'av yom kippurim. There was no happier day on the calendar than Tu B'Av. So it's such a almost like a, it's like yom hazikaron and note right afterwards, lahavdil. You know, it's like this tremendous period of mourning and sadness, and right away you transition from that into the happiest day of the year. So this whole issue requires examination. You know, on the one hand, we have a dichotomy, a dialectic. On the one hand, these days of the year are the sad days, the days of mourning, the days of Korban, days of Hester Panim, days of Din. But at the same time, they're days that are somehow beneath the surface, lurking beneath the surface. We find over here that there's a closeness to Hashem that expresses itself specifically in this time as well. So there's a sefer from the Aptar of the Ohev Yisrael in Parshas Pinchas, in this week's Parsha, he says the following language. He says, Gunduz v'yamim elu tova gedola l'klal Yisrael, that in these days there is hidden a very great goodness for the Jewish people, a very close kirva to Hashem in the Jewish, towards the Jewish people. And he says the following thing. He says that the 21 days of Yemei Mitzarim from Shivasar B'Tamuz until Tish B'Av, so 21 is the gematria of the Shem Ekya, right? Aleph and Hey and Yud and Hey. We find in Parsha Shmos at the Sne, when Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, Moshe said, What should I tell the people when I go down to Mitzrayim to redeem them? Hashem, I'm going to tell them Hashem sent me. So what name of Hashem should I use when I tell that to them? So Hashem tells him, Ekya, Ekya Asher Ekya. And Rashi says, what does it mean? What does this name of Hashem refer to? It refers to the fact that I will be with them, Ehiya Imahim Bitzar Azos, Moshe Imam Tzar Acheres. That Rashi says that Hashem is going to be with us in this Tzara, just like He's going to be with us in other Tzaras. That the name of Hashem, of Ekya, that Moshe Rabbeinu was told at that time, was that a name that connoted this idea that even in difficult times, so Hashem is with us. We just don't see Him. He's lurking there beneath the surface, ready to help us and doing what's best for us. And that's also, says the Ohev Yisrael, hinted to in the fact that there are 21 days between Shavasar and B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av Kigimatria Ekya. And he says it's also hinted to in the very letter test of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the ninth of Av, test is nine. If you look in the Tzura Sa'os, in the shape of the letter test, so we have this idea also that the shape of the letter test is like a box on the bottom with an open top, and then the top part of the box comes inward, almost like it's hidden. The top part of the test is hiding inside, because that's what Hashem is doing when He's hiding within these days, even though we don't see Him on the surface. And then the Ohev Yisrael goes on to say that there's another Shem Hashem, or another Shem that comes out of this word, this Shem Hashem Ekya, which is the Shem Yabet, right? Yud Beis Tes is also Gematria 21, Yud Beis Tes, which means to see. Like the Pasuk says, Tmunas Hashem Yabit, that Moshe Rabbeinu could see almost like the image of God. And says the Ohev Yisrael, what's this idea? That in the future, nir'eh es hatovus v'abrachos, that in the future we will see the goodness. Right now we can't see all the good that Hashem has in store for us. Right now we can't see how Chorban and Din is something that's good. But in the future, when we reach this Madrega, la'asid lavo yimosa Mashiach, when there's a binyan beis hamikdash, then we will see it. The biggest and the greatest things are hidden away from us for later. Right? That's like what Rashi says in Parshas Bereishis. Right? The Torah says, Vayar Elokim Esaor Ki Tov Vayavdel. Hashem saw that the or, the light that He made, was good. And He separated. So what does Rashi tell us over there? He says that Hashem saw it. So it wasn't Kedai, it wasn't good for Rishayim that they should have access to that or. So Hashem took it away and He hid it away for the tzaddikim, la'asid lavo, right? That's what the Pasuk says in Tehillim. Marav tufcha asher tzafanta l'reyecha. What is this great goodness, Hashem, that You have tzafanta, that You have hidden for those who fear You? It is waiting for us in the future. There's a Sefer B'nai Saskar says fascinating. He says that, what's the Arizal? And the Arizal says that every month of the Hebrew calendar corresponds to a different part of the face. Right? Some of you might remember in Chodesh Adar, I like to speak about this usually, that Adar is the month of the Chotem, Adar is the month of the nose, is what to say about that. So the B'nai Saskar says that Tammuz and Av are the eyes. Tammuz is the right eye, and Av is the left eye. This is what the Arizal says. So what does that mean? So the Ohev Yisrael, first of all, just the fact that the Arizal says that is very fascinating, because we've said that right now, this tkufa of Yemei Mitzarim, which stretches from Tammuz into Av, is a time where Hashem is hiding beneath the surface. We can't see Him. Our eyes are, so to speak, covered up. Our eyes are blinded. And that's what the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Gal einai v'ahita niflaus mitorasecha. We ask Hashem, Gal einai, Hashem, open up my eyes so that I can see the wonders from your Torah. What does it mean to open up my eyes? We're asking Hashem, says the Ovi Yisrael, Gal einai, reveal my eyes, open up the months of Tammuz and Av, and let me see the rachamim that's hiding beneath the surface of all this din. Let me see the closeness to you that's hiding beneath the surface of all this din. For those who like gematria, there's a sefer, the B'nai Sasfar, the same sefer. B'nai Sasfar says a fascinating thing. We know that Eliyahu HaNavi is the harbinger of Mashiach. Before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come and announce him. And Chazal tell us that Eliyahu HaNavi is Pinchas. Pinchas zu Eliyahu. That's what the Gemara says. So the gematria of Pinchas Eliyahu is 260, which is the gematria of Ayin and the Ayin. Ayin is gematria 130. So you have two Ayins, two eyes. It's gematria 260. Because 260, Ayin and Ayin, is Tammuz and Av. And in the future, so Pinchas, who is Eliyahu, is going to come and reveal to us, he's going to come tell us about the Mashiach and reveal to us what's beneath the surface in the closeness of these 2 months. That also, the Sasfar says, is hinted to in the Pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh, he turned to look to see that there was a bush that was burning and wasn't being consumed. And the Pasuk says, Vayar Hashem, Kisar Liros, that Hashem saw that Moshe Sar, Samech Reish, he turned Liros to see. So Sar is gematria 260. 260 is the gematria of Ayin and Ayin, of the two eyes, of the months of Tammuz and Av, referring to the two eyes. Kisar Liros, that Sar, when we can really access the months of Tammuz and Av, when we can see beneath the surface. So that's gonna be the times of Mashiach. And that's what the Pasuk is hinting to over here. Vayar Hashem, Kisar Liros, that Sar, the two eyes, will be able to see the months of Tammuz and Av. He quotes there in the B'nai Sasfar from one of the Svarim of the Mikubalim Hakadmonim, from one of the early Mikubalim, who says that we know from Chazal already, the Gemara's in Sukkah, that there are two Mashiachs. There's Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef is going to have some type of role in a great war that's supposed to precede Mashiach. And then Mashiach ben David is the ultimate salvation, ultimate redemption of Mashiach. And both of them, and Mashiach ben David is, it comes along with Eliyahu HaNavi. So in one of the early Kabbalah Sfarim, the B'nai Sasfar quotes, he says that the name of Mashiach ben Yosef is Nehemiah ben Hushiel. And the name of Mashiach ben David is Menachem ben Amiel. So he said, if you take the gematria of Nehemiah ben Hushiel, which is Mashiach ben Yosef, and Menachem ben Amiel, which is Mashiach ben David, and you take the name of Eliyahu, so Nehemiah ben Hushiel plus Menachem ben Amiel plus Eliyahu is 713. 713 is gematria Bereishis. Bereishis. That from the very beginning, like we say on Friday night, Sof Ma'aseh B'machshavah Tchila, that the end Hashem already had in mind what his plan was for the ultimate, the fulfillment of the purpose of the world, was already built into the plans from the very, very beginning of creation. In the beginning of the Torah is already hinting to us in the very first word what the ultimate destiny for the world is to arrive at Yavos HaMashiach. And not only is it hinted to in the first words of the Torah, but we also find a little bit of a hint to it in the last words of the Torah. The last words in the Torah are Le'enei Kol Yisrael. Le'enei Kol Yisrael, Enei, the two eyes. The eyes are Tammuz and Av, those eyes which will be revealed, which will see the real closeness when Hashem changes these times, these days, into days of Simcha. Oh. This Yisod, that during these times of apparent din, there is rachamim and kirva and closeness to Hashem that is beneath the surface. So we see that, as we mentioned, in the Churban itself. But we really see it from the very beginning of these days. Right? Like we said, the first Shiva Sarva Tammuz. When the first Shiva Sarva Tammuz occurred, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai and he saw the people making the Egel Hazav, and he broke the Luchos. Right? That was the first thing that happened on Shiva Sarva Tammuz, Nishtabru HaLuchos. So it's a fascinating thing. Even at that moment, when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Mechilas, which seems to be like the ultimate moment of separation between the Jewish people and Hashem, so we also find the very same closeness lurking beneath the surface even then. The Gemara, some of you were in my shir and other shir, maybe also, I'm not sure exactly who's here right now because I can't see the whole screen, but the Gemara in Gittin, for those of you who have seen it, on Daf Lamed Vav and Beis, says the following. The Gemara says, Tashma Damar Ula, Aluva Kala Shizinsa Bekerev Chupasa, that how chutzpah, how brazen is it for a kala to be unfaithful to her husband when she's under the chuppah? And this is a mashal to Bnei Yisrael, that they made an Eil Hazav when they were still standing at the foot of Har Sinai, when the Shechina was still resting on Har Sinai after Kabbalah Satorah. So Bnei Yisrael made an Eil Hazav. They got the Luchos Habris, they had the Ten Commandments from that they heard from Hashem, and they stand there at the same mountain, and they made an egel. So that's what the pasuk says. Aluva kala shezinsa bekarav chupasa. Amar of Mary, Bray the Bas Shmuel, the Gemara says, or Mary, the son of the daughter of Shmuel, said, Mikra, what exactly is the pasuk over here? What is it telling us? Where do we see this in the pasuk? Ad shamelech b'misibo nerdi nasan recho. Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, that while the king was still at the party, right, while Hashem was still at Har Sinai, the king was still at the party, nerdi. Nerdi refers to a besamim. There's a certain fragrance that was given off. Nasan recho. Nasan recho means azav recho. That the fragrance was gone, meaning that closeness, that specialness of the chuppah that we're supposed to have. So it was gone because we, the day Israel, were not faithful. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, says Rava, adayin chavivusa hu gaba. That even at that moment, when there was this tremendous distance, so to speak, apparent distance between Bnei Yisrael and Hashem, that we were unfaithful, we made an egel, and Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and he breaks the luchos, even at that moment, adayin chavivusa gaban, Hashem's dear preciousness, our preciousness towards Hashem, that Hashem still felt close to us and Hashem still loved us, was still there even in that moment. How do we see that? Ichsiv nasan v'lo chsiv hisriach. The pasuk says nerdi nasan recho. Nerdi is that fragrance. Nasan recho. Nasan, Rashi told us over there in the Gemara, say first to azav, that the fragrance was gone. But the Gemara says it doesn't say that hisriach. It doesn't say that it went sour, that it became rancid, that it got this bad smell. It just said the good smell left. And the fact that it said that the good smell left, but it didn't say that the smell became rancid and sour, so that already is a hint to the fact that even in that terrible time, so Hashem still had a chavivus towards Bnei Yisrael. Hashem still had a dear feeling towards the Jewish people, just like we said, even now, on Shivas Arba Tammuz. And we find the same thing by Tisha B'Av. By Tisha B'Av, the very first Tisha B'Av was after the Chet HaMeraglim. The Meraglim come back from Eretz Yisrael and give a terrible report and say that we're not going to be able to do it. We can't go there and fight those people. It's too much for us. It's too much for Hashem. And so Hashem makes a gzera that the whole generation of people in the Midbar are going to die there in the Midbar. It's such a terrible experience, a time of tremendous din. And then right after the parsha of Chet HaMeraglim, the parsha Shlach, so the next parak, right juxtaposed, the Torah says, what's the next thing that Hashem tells Bnei Yisrael? The Ber Bnei Yisrael Amart Aleihem. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to the Jewish people and tell them, Kisavo El Eretz Moshe Voseichem Asher Nosim Lachem. When you come into Eretz Yisrael that I'm going to give you, and then the Torah delineates different halachos regarding korbanos. So the Ramban wants to know, why is it that right after Hashem punishes Bnei Yisrael with 40 years of wandering in the Midbar, and then the whole generation is going to then go ahead and die, right then Hashem starts giving them the halachos of korbanos that are going to be relevant to coming into Eretz Yisrael? And says the Ramban, why is that? L'nachamam u'lehavticham. It's there as a consolation, as a promise to Bnei Yisrael that even though right now things seem very dire, things seem very bad, but I'm promising you that it's going to be okay. I'm still here. I haven't abandoned you, even though it looks very bad right now. And this Yisod is also, we can use it to answer a very famous kasha that the Ritva asks in Yuma. The Gemara says in Yuma, Daf Nun Daled Amud Beis, Amar Reish Lakish, when the Goyim, when the Romans came into the Beis HaMikdash to destroy the second Beis HaMikdash, so they saw the Kruvim were embracing one another. So they took out the Kruvim, which were in an embrace, a physical embrace with one another, and they took it to the marketplace, and they said, look at the Jewish people, and they're so holy, they can give brachos, and they can give klavos, and we took this out of their Beis HaMikdash, in their holiest place. Look what kind of image they had of these two heavenly beings in a physical embrace. That's disgusting. Miad hizilum, and then the people looked down at the goyim looked down at the Jewish people, as the pasuk says in Eicha, kol mechadeh hizilu akiro erpaso. So the Ritva over there asks Akasha from the Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Tzaditas. The Gemara in Bava Basra says that there are two seemingly contradictory psukim that relate to the Kruvim. There's one pasuk about the Kruvim that says pnei mishal achiv, that the Kruvim faced one another. And then there's another pasuk that says upnehem labais, that both of the Kruvim faced the bais. So how do we reconcile? Are they facing each other, which means that they're facing opposite directions, or are they both facing the same directions, the bais? So says the Gemara, lo kashta kam bizman shisrael osin ritzono shel makom, kam bizman shein yisrael osin ritzono shel makom. So when Bnei Yisrael and Hashem have a close relationship, when Jewish people are doing that which is Hashem's will, what Hashem wants from us, so then the Kruvim face each other. They're a reflection of that close relationship between Bnei Yisrael and Hashem. But when Bnei Yisrael and Hashem have Bnei Yisrael not doing the Ratzon Hashem, so there's like a distance, so then the Kruvim face away. So over here, ask the Ritva, how could it be that in the Shas Chorban Beis HaMikdash, the Kruvim are facing one another? It doesn't make sense. So based on the Yisod that we've said tonight, we can understand that somehow at the Shas Hadin, when times seem to be so difficult, and there seems to be such a great Hester Panim and such a great din, so specifically at those times, there's also a tremendous closeness that's lurking beneath the surface. So what is that? What's that closeness that's lurking beneath the surface at the time of din? So the Ohev Yisrael writes the following language. He says, "Ulekach haya ha-chorban b'zeh ha-chodesh." The Chorban was in this Chodesh of Av, which started the process already in Tammuz in a more intensive way, from Tammuz to Av. Through galus and through difficult things that we accept lovingly, because Hashem has given them to us, we become purified and uplifted. And then, because of this uplifting purification that we experience, which is very similar to what the Mefarshim say, why Bnei Israel had to go down to Mitzrayim before coming out of Mitzrayim and accepting the Torah, that somehow an intense din, it's like being put in a washing machine, that we experience these difficulties, and these difficulties have a purifying effect upon us, and that makes us worthy Mitzad HaDin, that we become really worthy of experiencing all the good that Hashem has in store for us in the future. And the Ohev Yisrael points out a tremendous, tremendous diuk to this effect in the Gemara Menachos. The Gemara says in Menachos that Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, and he was waiting to accept the Torah, and it was taking a long time, and Moshe said to Hashem, you know, what's taking so long? And Hashem said, I'm waiting, I'm putting all the crowns on all the letters, because in the future there's going to be somebody who comes, and he's dorish many, many halachas from each one of these crowns. That was Rabbi Akiva. And Moshe asked, oh, can you show me him? Can you show me Rabbi Akiva? And Hashem shows Moshe Rabbi Akiva. And it's Moshe Rabbeinu can't believe what a tzaddik and what a talmid chacham Rabbi Akiva is. To the point that Moshe even suggests that Hashem should just wait and give the Torah through Rabbi Akiva instead of giving it through him. And then afterwards, Moshe asks Hashem, now that you've shown me his Torah, show me what's going to be the end of his days. So we know from the Gemara in Brachos that the end of Rabbi Akiva was taken out to be killed by the Romans. The Gemara says, they were combing his flesh with combs of metal. They tortured him until he died. And the Gemara over there in Menachos says that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu Rabbi Akiva's flesh being weighed out to be sold in the marketplace. It was weighed on a scale to be sold in the marketplace. And Moshe turns to Hashem and he says, Ribono Shel Olam, Zu Torah, Vizu Schara, this is the Torah and this is the reward. You showed me such a person like Rabbi Akiva, and now this is his end, that his flesh is being sold in the marketplace. So what is Hashem's response? Amar Leish Shtok. Hashem said, be quiet, be silent. Kach Ola B'machshava Lefanai. This is what was Ola B'machshava before me. So the Ohr Yisrael says, what kind of response is that? What does it mean that this is what was Ola b'machshava l'fanai? So he points out that this is not just Hashem unwilling to answer Moshe's question. This is the answer. The answer is that kach Ola b'machshava. What does it mean Ola b'machshava? So we go back to Rashi on the first pasuk in Chumash. Bereishis bara Elokim. Rashi points out, it doesn't say Bereishis bara Hashem. The Torah says Bereishis bara Elokim. Hashem, Shem Hashem is the Midas HaRachamim. Elokim is the Midas HaDin. And Rashi says, Shebitchila, listen to the language, Allah b'machshava, livroso b'midas HaDin. Hashem, Allah b'machshava, originally Hashem wanted to create the world that it should exist on the plane of Din. And then Hashem saw it wasn't going to work that way, and there was a lot to talk about. And that also, what that means, Hashem realized it wouldn't work, so he had to change his plans, not for now. But the point is, the ideal level of existence for the entire world is to exist on a plane of Din. So Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, you don't understand. Rabbi Akiva was zoche to this death, even though as torturous and as awful, as terrible as it was, because that's the level of Allah b'machshava. Right? Moshe, Hashem told Moshe, shtok, kach Allah b'machshava lefanai. Rabbi Akiva is now reaching the place of my original intent of creation, that everybody can be held to the highest standards. And when we fail to reach the highest standards, that even in Bikiva, there was something that needed to be fixed. So the din, what happens is the din purifies. The din is that a person has some suffering, chas v'shalom, and then afterwards, he's zocha to tremendous things. The Gemara says that in the place where Bikiva v'chaverev are, in Gan Eden, is all the way in the inner realm, together with the Shechina. And that's exactly the yisod over here of the Yimei Bein HaMetzarim, that it's Yimei HaDin, certainly. It's times that are difficult and times that are fraught with tragedies. But at the same time, like it was for Rabbi Akiva, it's a bechina of Allah b'machshava. It's a bechina of Hashem saying to us that I'm giving you these difficult things now, but realize that it's good for you. And ultimately, it's going to lead you to greater places. Like to say, Mizmor la'asaf, not Kina la'asaf, Mizmor la'asaf, because of what happened over here. And Chazal tell us, the Medrash says that on the day of Tisha B'Av, we culminate the 3 weeks with the birth of Mashiach, that Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. So I just want to end off with one last point, and then we'll call it a night, which is the Gemara in Gittin said that even on Shavasar B'Tamuz, when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos and there was tremendous din. So even at that moment, so Adain Chavivusa Hu Gabayim, that there was a closeness, that we were, Hashem was still close to us even then, even in that tragedy. So the Chasam Sofer over there in Gittin says a different shot. The Gemara isn't referring, the Chasam Sofer says, to the fact that Hashem still felt close to us, but the Gemara is saying that even in that moment of chait, so we still felt close to Hashem. That B'nai Yisrael, and we're not going to get into now the reasons for chait ha'egel, which we've discussed many times, the Chasam Sofer essentially says the same thing as the Beis HaLevi, and the Kook also says the same thing, that the chait ha'egel was a chait l'shem shamayim. They thought that Moshe wasn't coming back, and in order to get close to Hashem, they needed to have some type of physical conduit that would act as a go-between between themselves and Hashem. And so they made an egel. So says the Chasam Sofer, Adayin Chavivusa Gaban, is the Gemara pointing out that even when B'nai Yisrael do chata'im, so we never completely abandon Hashem. We always have Hashem in our hearts. And the same way that when Hashem meets out punishment towards us, so Hashem is not abandoning us. Hashem also feels the same closeness towards us, like a father and a son. A father and a son, nobody loves the child more than the father. That we all know. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, by Nisugiv Baba Machteres, that if a father is breaking into the son's house, even though anybody else who tunnels into the house, you're allowed to kill them because you're scared they're coming to kill you. When a father breaks in, you can't kill the father because you know the father's not coming to kill you. A father loves his son more than anything in the world. And even though there's always this intense love from a parent to a child, sometimes the parent has to punish the child. And not only is it hard for the parent, harder for the parent than it is for the child, but the parent does it because he knows that it's good for you. The parent does it because he knows that this is in your own best interest. The best interest of his son is not when the child is little and he cries because he wants another cookie. The parent knows that having another cookie is going to give him a stomach ache. He's going to get cavities. He can only have so much. So the child cries and he cries and he screams and the parent says, I'm sorry. And when it gets a little bit, when we get a little bit older, so the things are more significant than cookies. But ultimately, we have to realize that Hashem has our best interest in mind. And even when it's thing, there are things that are hard for us to understand, maybe even impossible for us to understand, we see nothing. There's only Hester Panim. We can't see Hashem. And everything feels like din. But ultimately, we know that Hashem is right there beneath the surface, having our best interest in mind. Shkoyach. Excellent, boys. Excellent. It's great to see everybody. Not that I can see everybody, but it's great to see everybody who I can see. Wow. Look at all these people. Now I made the screen with you guys. You see these here. Shkoyach, boys. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Rabbi.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Well, thank you, Rabbi.
Have a great night. Have an easy end of your fast, guys. Have an easy end of the fast.
Thank you.
Also,
Rabbi, it wasn't such a bad fast.
Good, Baruch Hashem. Excellent. Let's see. I see people who are texting me.
Oops. Rav.
Sup? Listen, how are you?
Baruch Hashem, how's Rav doing?
Excellent, Baruch Hashem.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Just a quick clarity. Yudke, Vavke, and Elohim, which one's Din and which one's Rachamim?
Elohim is Din and Hashem, Yudke, Vavke is Rachamim.
So that's why Bereishis Bara Elohim, like if we started off Din, but then Hashem realized that it has to be Rachamim. That's like the